Scholastic Audiobooks presents Wings of Fire, Book 1, The Dragonette Prophecy, by Tui T. Sutherland, read for you by Shannon McManus. To listen to A Nightwing Guide to the Dragons of Pyria, go to the end of the program. The Dragonette Prophecy. When the war has lasted 20 years, the Dragonettes will come. When the land is soaked in blood and tears, the Dragonettes will come. Find the sea wing egg of deepest blue. Wings of night shall come to you. The largest egg in mountain high will give to you the wings of sky. For wings of earth, search through the mud for an egg the color of dragon blood. And hidden alone from the rival queens, the sandwing egg awaits unseen. Of three queens who blister and blaze and burn, two shall die, and one shall learn, if she bows to a fate that is stronger and higher, she'll have the power of wings of fire. Five eggs to hatch on brightest night, five dragons born to end the fight. Darkness will rise to bring the light. The Dragonettes are coming. Prologue. A dragon was trying to hide in the storm. Lightning flickered across the dark clouds. Kavitar clutched his fragile cargo closer. If he could make it over the mountains, he'd be safe. He'd escape the Sky Dragon's palace unseen, and the secret cave was so close. But his theft had not been as stealthy as he thought, and eyes as black as obsidian were already tracking him from below. The enormous dragon on the mountain ledge had pale gold scales that radiated heat like a desert horizon. Her black eyes narrowed, watching the gleam of silver wings far up in the clouds. She flicked her tail, and behind her two more dragons rose to the sky and dove into the heart of the storm. A piercing shriek echoed off the mountains as their talons seized the moon-pale ice dragon.
"Bind his mouth,"
the waiting dragon ordered, as her soldiers dropped Kavitar on the slick, wet ledge in front of her. He was already inhaling, ready to attack.
"Quickly!"
One of the soldiers grabbed a chain from the pile of smoldering coals. He threw it around the ice dragon's snout, clamping his jaws together with a sizzling smell of burning scales. Kavitar let out a muffled scream.
"Too late!"
The sand dragon's forked tongue slithered in and out of her mouth.
"You won't be using your freezing death breath on us, ice dragon."
"He was carrying this, Queen Burn,"
said one of the soldiers, handing her a dragon egg. Burn squinted at the egg through the downpour.
"This is not an ice wing egg," she hissed. "You stole this from the Skywing Palace."
The ice wing stared back at her. Hissing steam circled his snout where the hot chains met cold silver scales.
"You thought you got away unnoticed, didn't you?"
Burn said.
"My Skywing ally is not a fool. Queen Scarlet knows everything that happens in her kingdom. Her lookouts reported an Icewing thief sneaking away, and I decided finding you might add some violence to my boring visit."
Burn held the large egg up to the light of the fire and turned it slowly. Red and gold shimmered below the pale, smooth surface.
"Yes, this is a Skywing egg about to hatch,"
Burn mused.
"Why would my sister send you to steal a Skywing dragonette? Blaze hates any dragon younger and prettier than she is."
She thought for a moment, as rain drummed on the ledge around them.
"Unless the brightest night is tomorrow."
Her tail flicked up like a scorpion's, the poisonous barb inches from Gavitra's eyes.
You're not in Blaze's army, are you? You're one of those insipid underground peacemongers. The talent of peace? Said one of the soldiers. You mean they're real? Burn snorted. A few worms crying over a little blood. Unwrap his chains. He won't be able to freeze us until the scales cool down.
The enormous sand dragon leaned closer as her soldier pulled the chain away.
Tell me, Ice Dragon, do you really believe in that pompous old Nightwing's prophecy? Haven't enough dragons died for your war? Snarled Kaviter, wincing at the pain in his jaws. All of Pyria has suffered for the last 12 years. The prophecy says, I don't care. No prophecy decides what happens to me, Burn interrupted. I'm not letting a bunch of words or baby dragons choose when I die or what I bow to. We can have peace when my sisters are dead, and I am Queen of the Sandwings.
Her venomous tail dipped closer to the silver dragon. Rain pattered on Kavitra's scales. He glared up at her.
The dragonettes are coming, whether you like it or not, and they'll choose who the next Sandwing Queen should be.
Really?
Burn stepped back and turned the egg slowly between her talons. Her forked tongue slipped in and out of her smile.
So, Icewing, is this egg a part of your pathetic prophecy?
Kavitra went still. Burn tapped lightly on the eggshell with one long talon.
Hello, she called. Is there a dragonette of destiny in there, ready to come out and end this big bad war?
Leave it alone,
Kavitra choked out.
Tell me, Burn said, what becomes of your precious prophecy? If one of the 5 dragonettes is never hatched at all.
You wouldn't, he said. No one would harm a dragon egg.
His blue eyes were fixed desperately on her talons.
No wings of sky to help save the world, Burn said. What a sad, sad story.
She began tossing the egg from one front claw to the other.
I guess that means you should be very, very careful with this terribly important little oops.
With an exaggerated lunge, Burn pretended the wet egg was slipping through her talons, and then she let it fall, over the side of the cliff, into the rocky darkness below.
No!
Kavitra shrieked. He threw off the 2 soldiers and flung himself toward the edge. Burn slammed her massive claws down on his neck.
So much for destiny, she smirked. So much for your tragic little movement.
You're a monster,
the Icewing gasped, writhing under her talons, his voice cracked with despair.
We'll never give up. The dragonettes will come and stop this war.
Burn leaned down to hiss into his ear.
Even if they do, it'll be far too late for you.
Her claws ripped through the silver dragon's wings, shredding them as Kavitra shrieked in agony. With a swift movement, she stabbed her poisonous tail through his skull and flung the long silver body over the edge of the cliff. The ice dragon's screams cut off long before the echoes of his corpse slamming into the rocks below. The Sandwing turned her black eyes to her soldiers.
Perfect, she said. That should be the last we hear about that stupid prophecy.
She held out her talons so the rain could wash away the glistening dragon blood.
Let's go find something else to kill.
The 3 dragons spread their wings and lifted off into the dark clouds. Sometime later, far below, a large dragon the color of rust crawled over the rocks to the broken body of the ice dragon. She nudged his tail aside and lifted a shard of eggshell from underneath it, then slipped back into the labyrinth of caves under the cliffs. Stone walls brushed against her wings, She breathed out a plume of flame to light her way along the dark passage, deep into the mountain.
I stand with the talent of peace,
hissed a voice in the shadows.
Kestrel, is that you?
We await the wings of fire,
answered the red dragon. A blue-green sea wing emerged from a side cave, and she tossed the eggshell at his feet.
Not that it'll do us much good now, she snarled. Kvitr is dead.
The sea wing stared at the eggshell.
But the Skywing egg...
Broken, she said.
Gone. It's over, Webs.
It can't be, he said.
Tomorrow is the brightest night. The three moons will all be full for the first time in a century. The dragonettes of the prophecy have to hatch tomorrow.
Well, one of them is already dead, Kestrel said.
Rage flickered in her eyes.
I knew I should have stolen the Skywing egg myself. I know the Sky Kingdom. They wouldn't have caught me a second time.
Webbs grimaced, scratching one claw over the gills along his neck.
Asha is dead, too.
Asha?
A spurt of flame shot from Kestrel's nose.
How? Caught in a battle between Blaze's and Blister's forces on the way here, she still made it with the red Mudwing egg, but she died of her wounds soon after. So it's just you, me, and Dune to raise the little worms,
Kestrel growled.
For a prophecy that can never be fulfilled. Let's break the cursed eggs now and be done with it. We'll be long gone before the Talons of Peace return for the dragonettes.
No,
Webbs hissed.
Keeping the dragonettes alive for the next 8 years is more important than anything. If you don't want to be a part of that...
All right, enough,
Kestrel snapped.
I'm the strongest dragon in the Talons of Peace. You need me. It doesn't matter how I feel about nasty little dragonettes.
She eyed the eggshell on the floor, rubbing her scarred palms together.
Although I thought at least one of them would be a Skywing. I'll find us a fifth dragonette.
Webbs pushed past her, scales scraping against rock.
There's no way back into the Sky Kingdom, Brainless, she said. They'll be guarding the hatchery closely now.
Then I'll get an egg somewhere else, he said grimly. The Rainwings don't even count their eggs. I could take one from the rainforest without anyone noticing.
Of all the horrible ideas, Kestrel said with a shudder.
Rainwings are wretched creatures, nothing like Skywings.
We have to do something,
Webb said. He hissed as his tail sent the eggshell skittering across the floor.
In 8 years, the Talons of Peace will come looking for five dragonettes. The prophecy says five, and we're going to make it come true. Whatever it takes.
Part 1. Under the Mountain. 6 years later. Chapter 1. Clay didn't think he was the right dragon for a big, heroic destiny. Oh, he wanted to be. He wanted to be the great Mudwing savior of the dragon world, glorious and brave. He wanted to do all the wonderful things expected of him. He wanted to look at the world, figure out what was broken, and fix it. But he wasn't a natural hatched hero. He had no legendary qualities at all. He liked sleeping more than studying, and he kept losing chickens in the caves during hunting practice because he was paying attention to his friends instead of watching for feathers. He was all right at fighting, but all right wasn't going to stop the war and save the dragon tribes. He needed to be extraordinary. He was the biggest dragonette, so he was supposed to be the scary, tough one. The Minders wanted him to be terrifyingly dangerous. Clay felt about as dangerous as cauliflower.
Fight!
His attacker howled, flinging him across the cavern. Clay crashed into the rock wall and scrambled up again, trying to spread his mud-colored wings for balance.
Red talons raked at his face and he ducked away. Come on! The red dragon snarled. Stop holding back! Find the killer inside you and let it out!
I'm trying, Clay said. Maybe if we could stop and talk about it?
She lunged for him again.
Feint to the left! Roll right! Use your fire!
Clay tried to duck under her wing to attack her from below, but of course he rolled the wrong way. One of her talons smashed him to the ground, and he yelped with pain.
Which left was that, useless?
Kestrel bellowed in his ear.
Are all mudwings this stupid, or are you just deaf?
Well, if you keep that up, I will be soon, Clay thought. The Skywing lifted her claws and he wriggled free.
I don't know about other mudwings, he protested, licking his sore talons.
Obviously, but perhaps we could try fighting without all the shouting and see... He stopped, hearing the familiar hiss that came before one of Kestrel's fire attacks. He threw his wings over his head, tucked his long neck in, and rolled into the maze of stalagmites that studded one corner of the cave. Flames blasted the rocks around him, singeing the tip of his tail.
Coward!
The older dragon bellowed. She smashed one of the rock columns into a shower of sharp black pebbles. Clay covered his eyes and almost immediately felt her stamp down hard on his tail.
Ow! He yelled. You said stomping tails was cheating!
He seized the closest stalagmite between his claws and scrambled up on top of it. From his perch near the roof, he glared down at his guardian.
I'm your teacher, Kestrel snarled. Nothing I do is cheating. Get down here and fight like a Skywing!
But I'm not a Skywing, Clay thought rebelliously. I'm a Mudwing. I don't like setting things on fire or flapping around in circles biting at dragon necks.
His teeth still ached from Kestrel's jewel-hard scales.
Can't I fight one of the others? He asked. I'm much better at that. The other dragonettes were his own size, nearly, and they didn't cheat. Well, most of the time. He actually liked fighting with them.
Oh, yes. Which opponent would you prefer, the stunted sandwing or the lazy rainwing?
Kestrel said.
Because I'm sure you'll get to choose out on the battlefield.
Her tail glowed like embers as she lashed it back and forth. Glory's not lazy, Clay said loyally. She's just not built for fighting, that's all. Webb says there's not much to fight about in the rainforest because the rainwings have all the food they want. He says that's why they've stayed out of the war so far, because none of the rival queens want rainwings in their armies anyway. He says,
stop yammering and get down here!
Kestrel roared. She reared up on her back legs and flared her wings so she suddenly looked three times bigger. With a yelp of alarm, Clay tried to leap to the next stalagmite, but his wings unfurled too slowly, and he smacked into the side of it instead. Sparks flew as his claws scraped down the jagged rock. He let out another yowl of pain as Kestrel snaked her head between the columns, seized his tail in her teeth, and yanked him out into the open. Her talons closed around his neck as she hissed in his ear.
Where's the violent little monster I saw when you hatched? That's the dragon we need for the prophecy.
Gulp! Clay squawked, clawing at her grip. He could feel the strange burn scars on her palms scraping against his scales. This was how battle training with Kestrel always ended, with him unconscious and then sore or limping for days afterward.
Fight back, he thought. Get mad. Do something.
But although he was the biggest of the dragonettes, they were still a year away from being full-grown, and Kestrel towered over him. He tried to summon some helpful, violent rage, but all he could think was,
it'll be over soon, and then I can go have dinner.
So, not the most heroic train of thought. Suddenly, Kestrel let out a roar and dropped him. Fire blasted over Clay's head as he hit the floor with a thud. The red dragon whirled around. Behind her, panting defiantly, was the sea-wing dragonette, Tsunami. A red-gold scale was caught between her sharp white teeth. She spat it out and glared at their teacher.
Stop picking on Clay, Tsunami growled, or I'll bite you again.
Her deep blue scales shimmered like cobalt glass in the torchlight, the gills in her long neck repulsing like they always did when she was angry. Kestrel sat back and flicked her tail around to examine the bite mark. She bared her teeth at Tsunami.
Aren't you sweet? Protecting a dragon who tried to kill you while you were still an egg.
But luckily, you big dragons were there to save our lives, Tsunami said. And we sure appreciate it, because now we get to hear about it all the time. She marched around to stand between Clay and Kestrel. Clay winced. He hated hearing this story. He didn't understand it. He'd never want to hurt the other dragonettes. So why had he attacked their eggs during hatching? Did he really have a killer monster inside him somewhere? The other minders, Webbs and Dune, said he'd been ferocious when he hatched. They'd had to throw him in the river to protect the other eggs from him. Kestrel wanted him to find that monster and use it when he fought. But he was afraid if he ever did, he would hate himself, and so would everyone else. Thinking about what he'd nearly done to his friends made him feel like all the fire had been sucked out of him. He didn't particularly want to be a violent, angry monster, even if Kestrel thought that would be an improvement. But maybe that was the only way to make the prophecy come true. Maybe that monster was his destiny.
All right, Kestrel said dismissively. We're finished here anyway. I'll mark another failure in your scroll, Mudwing.
She snorted a small flame into the air and swept out of the cave. Clay flopped down on the floor as soon as her red tail had vanished from sight. It felt like every one of his scales was stinging from the burns.
She's going to be so mean to you during your training tomorrow, he said to Tsunami.
Oh no, the Seawing Dragonette gasped. I've never seen Kestrel be mean before. That'll be so unexpected and out of character.
Ow, Clay groaned. Don't make me laugh. I think my ribs are broken.
Your ribs are not broken, Tsunami said, poking him in the side with her nose. Dragon bones are almost as hard as diamonds. You're fine. Get up and jump in the river.
No!
Clay buried his head under his wing.
Too cold.
Jump in the river, was Tsunami's solution for everything. Bored? Aching bones? Dry scales? Brain overstuffed with the history of the war? Jump in the river, she'd shout whenever any of the other dragonettes complained. She certainly did not care that she was the only one who could breathe underwater, or that most other dragon tribes hated getting wet. Clay didn't mind being wet, but he couldn't stand being cold, and the underground river that flowed through their cave home was always freezing.
Get in,
Tsunami ordered. She seized his tail between her front talons and started dragging him toward the river.
You'll feel better.
I will not,
Clay shouted, clawing at the smooth stone floor.
I'll feel colder. Stop it. Go away. Arr!
His protest went up in a cloud of bubbles as Tsunami dumped him in the icy water. When he resurfaced, she was floating beside him, ducking her head and splashing water over her scales like a beautiful overgrown fish. Clay felt like a gawky brown blob next to her. He splashed into the shallows and lay down on a submerged rock ledge, with his head resting on the bank of the river. He wouldn't admit it, but the burns and aches did feel better in the water. The current helped wash away the smoky rock dust caught between his dry scales. Still too cold, though. Clay scratched at the rock below him. Why couldn't there be just a little mud down here?
Kestrel will be sorry one day, when I'm queen of the sea wings, Tsunami said, swimming up and down the narrow channel.
I thought only a queen's daughters or sisters could challenge her for her throne, Clay said.
Tsunami swam so fast. He wished he had webs between his talons, too, or gills, or a tail like hers, so powerful she could nearly empty the river with one big splash.
Well, maybe the Sea Wing Queen is my mother and I'm a lost princess, she said. Like in the story.
Everything the Dragonettes knew about the outside world came from scrolls picked up by the Talons of Peace. Their favorite was The Missing Princess, a legend about a runaway Sea Wing Dragonette whose royal family tore up the whole ocean looking for her. At the end, she found her way home, and her parents welcomed her with open wings and feasting and joy. Clay always skipped the adventures in the middle of the story. He just liked that last part, the happy mother and father, and the feasting. The feasting sounded pretty great, too.
I wonder what my parents are like, he said.
I wonder if any of our parents are still alive, Tsunami said. Clay didn't like to think about that. He knew dragons were dying in the war every day. Kestrel and Webbs brought back news of bloody battles, scorched land, and burning piles of dragon bodies. But he had to believe his parents were still safe.
Do you think they ever miss us?
Definitely.
Tsunami flicked a spray of water at him with her tail.
I bet mine were frantic when Webbs stole my egg.
Just like in the story.
And mine tore apart the marshes. Clay said.
They'd all imagine scenes of their parents' desperate searches ever since they were young dragonettes. Clay liked the idea that someone out there was looking for him, that someone missed him and wanted him back.
Tsunami flipped onto her back, gazing up at the stone roof with her translucent green eyes.
Well, the Talons of Peace knew what they were doing, she said bitterly. No one would ever find us down here.
They listened to the river gurgle and the torches crackle for a moment.
We won't be underground forever,
Clay said, trying to make her feel better.
I mean, if the Talons of Peace want us to stop this war, they have to let us out sometime.
He scratched behind his ear thoughtfully.
Starflight says it's only 2 more years.
He only had to hold on that long.
And then we can go home and eat as many cows as we want.
Well, first we save the world, Tsunami said. And then we go home.
Right, said Clay. How they were going to save the world was a little fuzzy. But everyone seemed to think they'd figure it out when the time came.
Clay pulled himself out of the river, his waterlogged wings heavy and drooping. He spread them in front of one of the torches, arching his neck and trying to get warm. Feeble waves of heat wafted against his scales.
Unless, Tsunami said.
Clay lowered his head to look at her.
Unless what?
Unless we leave sooner, she said. She flipped over and pulled herself out of the water in one graceful motion.
Leave? Clay echoed, startled.
How? On our own?
Why not? She said. If we can find a way out, why should we have to wait another 2 years? I'm ready to save the world now, aren't you?
Clay wasn't sure he'd ever be ready to save the world. He figured the Talons of Peace would tell them what they had to do. Only the 3 guardian dragons, Kestrel, Webbs, and Dune, knew where the dragonettes were hidden, but there was a whole network of Talons out there getting ready for the prophecy.
We can't stop the war by ourselves, he said. We wouldn't know where to start.
Tsunami flapped her wings at him in exasperation, showering him with cold droplets.
We can too stop the war on our own, she said. That's the whole point of the prophecy.
Maybe in 2 years, Clay said. Maybe by then I'll have found my dangerous side. Maybe then I'll be the ferocious fighter Kestrel wants me to be.
Maybe sooner, she said stubbornly. Just think about it, all right?
He shifted his feet.
All right, I'll think about it.
At least that way he could stop arguing with her.
Tsunami cocked her head. I hear dinner. The faint sound of dismayed mooing echoed up the tunnel behind them. She poked Clay cheerfully.
Race you to the hall!
She whirled and pounded away without waiting for a response. The torches in the battle room seemed dimmer, and cold water was seeping under Clay's scales. He folded his wings and swept his tail through the debris of the smashed rock column. Tsunami was crazy. The five dragonettes weren't ready to stop the war. They wouldn't even know how to survive on their own. Maybe Tsunami was brave and tough like a hero should be, but Sunny and Glory and Starflight? Clay thought of all the things that might hurt them and wished he could give them his own scales and claws and teeth for extra protection. Besides, there was no way to escape the caves. The Talons of Peace had made sure of that. Still, part of him couldn't help wondering what it would be like to go home now instead of waiting another 2 years. Back to the marshes, to the swamps, to a whole tribe of mudwings who looked like him and thought like him. Back to his parents, whoever they were. What if they could do it? What if the dragonettes could escape and survive and save the world? Their own way. Chapter 2. Clay swept the bones of dinner into the river with his tail. The stripped white shapes bounced away in the current. Fires flickered around the edges of the great central cave. Echoing space yawned overhead, dripping with stalactites like huge teeth. The cave dome was big enough for 6 full-grown dragons to fit across with their wings extended. The underground river flowed along one wall, muttering and gurgling as if it were plotting its own escape. Clay glanced at the 2 small sleeping caves that opened onto the hall, currently empty, and wondered where the other dragonettes had gone while he was cleaning up.
"Aha!"
yelled a voice behind him. Clay threw his wings over his head.
"What'd I do?" he yelped. "I'm sorry, it was an accident. Or if it's the extra cow, Dune said I could have it because Webs would be out late, but I'm sorry, and I can skip dinner tomorrow."
A small snout poked his back between his wings. "Calm down, silly," Sunny said. "I wasn't aha-ing at you." "Oh." Clay smoothed his crest and twisted around to look at her, the smallest and last hatched of the dragonettes. A pale lizard tail was disappearing into her mouth. She grinned at him.
"That was my fierce hunting cry," she said. "Did you like it? Wasn't it scary?"
"Well, it was certainly surprising," he said.
"Lizards again? What's wrong with cows?"
"Blech! Too heavy," she said. "You look all serious."
"Just thinking."
He was glad Kestrel and Dune couldn't read minds like Nightwing dragons. He hadn't been able to stop thinking about the idea of escape all through dinner. Clay lifted one of his wings, and Sunny nestled in close to him. He could feel the warmth from her golden scales radiating along his side. Sunny was too small, and the wrong color. Tawny gold instead of sand pale like most sand wings. But she gave off heat like the rest of her tribe.
"Dune says we should go study for an hour before bed," she said. "The others are in the study cave already."
Dune, the maimed dragon who taught them survival skills, was a sandwing, and so was Sunny, more or less. There was something not quite right about the littlest dragonette. Not only were her scales too golden, but her eyes were gray-green instead of glittering black. Worst of all, her tail curled into an ordinary point like the tails of most dragon tribes, instead of ending with the poisonous barb that was a sandwing's most dangerous weapon. As Kestrel often said, Sunny was completely harmless. And what good was a harmless dragon? But her egg fit the instructions in the prophecy, so she was their wings of sand, whether the Talons of Peace liked it or not. Of course, there were no wings of rain in the prophecy at all. The dragonettes had all heard, many times over, about how Glory was a last-minute substitute for the broken Skywing egg. Kestrel and Dune called her a mistake and growled at her a lot. Nobody knew whether the prophecy could still happen with a rain wing instead of a sky wing, but from what Clay knew of sky wings, he was very glad they had Glory instead of another grumpy, fire-breathing kestrel under the mountain. Besides, if anyone was likely to mess up the prophecy, it was him, not Glory or Sunny.
"Come on,"
Sunny said, flicking him with her tail. He followed her across the central cave. Twisting stone tunnels led off in four directions, one to the battle area, one to the guardian's cave, one to the study room, and one to the outside world. The last was blocked with a boulder too big for any of the dragonettes to move. Clay stopped and pushed against the rock with his shoulder as they went by. He often tried to open it when the big dragons weren't around. Someday, it would move when he did that. Maybe not a lot, but even a tiny shift would let him know he was finally getting close to full grown. He felt big. He was constantly bumping into things and accidentally knocking stuff over with his tail or his wings. Not today, he thought ruefully when the boulder didn't budge. Maybe tomorrow. He followed Sunny down the tunnel to the study room. His enormous feet and thick claws thumped and scraped along the stone floor. Even though he'd lived under the mountain his whole life, it still hurt to walk on bare rock. He was constantly stubbing his talons, and they always ached by the end of the day. Tsunami was strutting around the study cave, barking orders. Sunny and Clay sat down by the entrance, folding their wings back. A breath of air drifted down from the hole in the roof, far overhead, the only window to the outside in any of the caves. At night, without the distant hint of sunlight, the room felt colder and more hollow. Clay stretched up and sniffed at the darkness that had fallen on the other side of the hole. He thought it smelled like stars. A map of Pyria hung on the wall between the torches. Tsunami and Starflight loved staring at the map, trying to figure out where their hidden cave was. Starflight was pretty sure they were somewhere under the claws of the Clouds Mountains. Skywings preferred to live high among the peaks, so anything could happen in the deep caves below without being noticed.
"All this history is so confusing," Sunny murmured to Clay, swishing her tail back and forth. "Why don't the three sides just sit down and talk out an end to the war?"
"That would be great," Clay said. "Then we could stop studying it."
Sunny giggled.
"Stop that," Tsunami said bossily, stamping her feet at them. "No whispering. Pay attention. I'm assigning parts."
"This is not proper studying,"
Starflight pointed out. His black nightwing scales made him nearly invisible in the dark shadows between the torches. He swept a few scrolls between his talons and began to neatly sort them into stacked triangles.
"Perhaps I should read to everyone instead."
"Dear Moons,
anything but that,"
Glory said from the ledge above him. "Maybe later, when we're trying to fall asleep." Her long, delicate snout, glowing emerald green with displeasure, rested on her front claws. Ripples of iridescent blue shimmered across her scales, and tonight, her tail was a swirl of vibrant purples. If it weren't for Glory, Clay thought, none of them would know how many colors there were in the world. He wondered what it must be like in the rainforest, where there was a whole tribe of dragons that beautiful.
"Shush!" Tsunami scolded. "Now, obviously, I'd be the best queen, but let's make Sunny the queen since she is a real sandwing."
She bustled over and pushed Sunny into the center of the cave.
"Well, sort of,"
Glory muttered under her breath.
"Hst!"
Starflight flicked her with his tail. None of the dragonettes ever talked about why Sunny didn't look like a regular sandwing. Clay's guess was that her egg had been taken from the sand too early. Maybe sandwing eggs needed the sun and desert sand to keep them warm until hatching, or else they'd come out half-baked and funny-looking. Although personally, he thought Sunny looked just fine. Tsunami tapped her talons on the cave floor, studying her friends.
"Clay, you want to play the scavenger?"
"That's hardly fair," Starflight pointed out. "He's twice Sunny's size. A real scavenger would be smaller than her, according to the scroll over here. It says that scavengers have no scales, no wings, and no tail, and they walk on two legs which sounds very unstable to me. I bet they fall over all the time. They like treasure nearly as much as dragons do. The scrolls say scavengers attack lone dragons and steal...
Oh my gosh!
We know, Glory snapped. We were all here for the fascinating lectures about them. Don't make me come down there and bite you, Starflight.
I'd like to meet a real scavenger, Clay said. I'd rip off its head and eat it.
He pounded his front talons on the stone below him.
I bet it would taste better than the mouthfuls of feathers Kestrel keeps bringing us.
Poor hungry Clay, Sunny teased. When we're free, we'll go find a scavenger nest and eat all of them, Tsunami promised, nudging Clay with one wing. Sunny blinked at her. When we're free? Oops. Tsunami and Clay exchanged glances. Sunny was sweet and trusting and absolutely terrible at keeping secrets. I mean, after we fulfill the prophecy, of course, Tsunami said. Clay, be the scavenger. Here, this can be your claw. She swung her long tail in an arc and smashed a stalagmite loose. Shards of rock flew across the cave and the other dragonettes ducked. Clay hefted the sharp rock spear in his claws and grinned wickedly at Sunny. Don't actually hurt me, she said nervously. Of course he won't, Tsunami said. We're just acting it out, and the rest of us will be the princesses. I'll be Burn, Glory can be Blister, and Starflight will be Blaze. I had to be a princess last time too, Starflight observed. I'm not sure I like this game. He stretched his wings and the scattered silver scales underneath glittered like stars in the night sky. It's not a game, it's history, Tsunami said. And if we had any other friends, we could play it differently. But there are 3 Sand Dragon princesses, so you have to be one, so stop complaining. Starflight shrugged and settled back into the shadows, the way he always did when he couldn't win a fight. All right, go ahead, Tsunami said, hopping onto the ledge next to Glory. Sunny said. She eyed Clay warily. Right. Here I go, la la la, Queen Oasis of the Sandwings. I'm so very important and, royal and stuff. Tsunami sighed. Glory and Starflight hid their smiles. I've been queen for ages and ages, Sunny went on. She strutted across the cave floor. No one dares challenge me for my throne. I am the strongest Sandwing queen who ever lived. Don't forget the treasure, Tsunami hissed, pointing at a pile of loose rocks. Oh, right, Sunny said. It's probably because of all my treasure. I have so much treasure because I'm such an important queen. She swept the rocks toward her and gathered them between her talons.
Did someone say treasure?
Clay bellowed, leaping out from behind a large rock formation. Sunny yelped with fright. No, Tsunami called. You're not scared. You're Queen Oasis, the big bad queen of the sand dragons. Right, Sunny said. Roar! What is this tiny scavenger doing in the kingdom of sand? I am not afraid of tiny scavengers. I shall go out there and eat him in one bite. Glory started giggling so hard, she had to lie down and cover her face with her wings. Even Tsunami was making faces like she was trying not to laugh. Clay swung his stalagmite in a circle.
Squeak, 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 he shouted. And other annoying scavenger noises. I'm here to steal treasure away from a magnificent dragon.
Not from me, you won't, Sunny said, bristling. She stamped forward, spread her wings, and raised her tail threateningly. Without the poisonous barb other sandwings had, Sunny's tail was not very menacing, but nobody pointed that out.
Yaw!
Clay shouted, lunging forward with his rock claw. Sunny darted out of the way, and they circled each other, feinting and jabbing. This was Clay's favorite part. When Sunny forgot about trying to act queenly and focused on the battle, she was fun to fight. Her small size made it easy for her to dodge and slip under his defenses. But in the end, Queen Oasis had to lose. That was how the story went.
Clay drove Sunny back against the wall of the cave and thrust the fake claw between her neck and her wing, pretending it went right through her heart.
Arrgh!
Sunny howled.
Impossible! A queen defeated by a lowly scavenger! The kingdom will fall apart! Oh, my treasure! My lovely treasure!
She collapsed to the ground and let her wings flop lifelessly on either side of her.
Ha ha ha!
Clay said.
And squeak, squeak! The treasure is mine!
He scooped up all the rocks and paraded away, lashing his tail proudly. Our turn, Tsunami said, jumping off the ledge. She hurried over to Sunny, clasped her talons together, and let out a cry of anguish.
Oh, no! Our mother is dead, and the treasure is gone. But worst of all,
none of us killed her.
So, who should be queen now?
I was about to challenge her, Glory cried. She flapped her wings dramatically. I would have fought her to the death for the throne. I should be queen.
No, I should be queen, Tsunami insisted. I am the eldest and biggest and would have challenged her first.
They both turned to look at Starflight, hidden in the shadows. The black dragon looked as if he were trying to become even more invisible.
Come on, Starflight, Tsunami said. Don't be a lazy...
She caught herself just before saying, Rainwing. The teacher said things like that all the time. If you don't study, you're no better than a rainwing. What's the matter? Someone replace your brains with a rainwings? Still sleeping? Anyone would think you were a rainwing. That last one was mostly for Clay. But the dragonettes all knew Glory hated it, no matter how much she pretended she didn't care. It also seemed really unfair. Glory was the only rainwing any of them had ever met, and she studied and trained harder than anyone else.
Dragon!
Tsunami finished awkwardly with a quick glance at Glory. Starflight, get out here! The Nightwing shuffled forward and looked down at Sunny, who had her eyes scrunched shut.
Oh dear, he said. Well, now I should be queen. As the youngest princess, I could have the longest reign. That would be good for the Sandwings. Also,
he paused and gave a long-suffering sigh.
Also, I am by far the prettiest.
Sunny giggled, and Tsunami poked her to keep still. Clay swept his treasure rocks into a pile and sat on them.
I should kill you both right now, Glory snarled. You and what army? Tsunami taunted her.
Glory stretched her neck up and bared her teeth.
That's a great idea. I'll go get an army. An army of sea wings, and then you'll be sorry.
You're not the only one who can make alliances, Tsunami said.
I'll get the sky wings on my side and the mud wings. Then we'll see who wins this war.
There was a pause. They both looked at Starflight again.
Yeah, he said. You do that, and I'll ally myself with the Ice Wing Army. Also, by the way, most of the Sand Wings want me to be their queen.
They do? Sunny said, opening her eyes. Who says?
Stop talking, Tsunami said, poking her with one talon. You're dead.
There are lots of recent scrolls about it,
Starflight explained pompously.
Blaze is very popular with her own tribe.
So, why can't she be queen? Sunny asked. If that's who they want.
Because Burn is bigger and scarier and could crush her like a bug if they actually fought claw to claw, Glory chimed in. And Blister, that's me, is smarter than both of them put together. She knew she couldn't kill Burn in a regular duel. It was her idea to involve all the other tribes and turn their Sandwing throne battle into a world war. She's probably waiting for the other two to kill each other.
Which one do we want to be queen? Sunny asked. We get to pick, right? When we fulfill the prophecy?
None of them, Starflight said gloomily. Blaze is about as smart as a concussed sheep. Blister is most likely plotting to become queen of all the tribes somehow. And if Burn wins, she'll probably keep the war going just for fun. They're all pretty nasty. I guess we'll see what the Talons of Peace decide.
The Talons of Peace don't get to decide, Tsunami said, bristling.
They only think they're in charge of us.
We can still hear them out, Starflight argued. They want what's best for us and Pyria.
Easy for you to say, Glory snapped. The ruff around her neck flared orange. You weren't stolen from your home. The Nightwings were pretty eager to hand over your egg, weren't they?
Starflight flinched as if she'd burned him.
Boring,
Clay shouted from his pile of rocks. Stop fighting with each other. Come fight me for this treasure instead.
No one knows what the scavenger did with the sand dragon treasure, Starflight said in his top-of-the-class voice, turning away from Glory. Among other things, he stole the Lazulite dragon, the gold Sandwing scepter, and the Eye of Onyx, which had been in the Sandwing treasury for hundreds of years.
Clay stamped his feet. Starflight's lectures always made his scales itch.
I just want to fight somebody, he said.
Somebody who wasn't trying to beat him into a violent rage, preferably. As if the thought had summoned her, Kestrel suddenly loomed in the entrance of the cave.
What is going on in here?
Kestrel's booming voice made all five dragonettes jump to attention. Sunny slipped as she tried to scramble to her feet, and Starflight jumped forward to catch her. The enormous red skywing slithered into the cave, glaring down at them.
This doesn't look like studying, she hissed.
We're sorry, Sunny stammered.
No, we're not. Tsunami shot the Sandwing a glare. We were studying. We were acting out the death of the queen that started the whole war.
You mean play acting, Kestrel growled. You are too old for games.
When were we ever young enough for games? Glory muttered. It wasn't a game, Tsunami said. It was a different way of learning the history. What's wrong with that?
And now you're talking back, Kestrel said.
She looked smug, as she always did when Tsunami got in trouble.
That means no sleeping in the river tonight.
Tsunami scowled. Kestrel tapped the pile of scrolls by the entrance with one claw.
The rest of you, learn from the Sea Wing's mistakes and study the correct way.
That's not fair,
Clay spoke up as Kestrel turned to go, even though it made his heart pound.
We were all doing the same thing. We should all be punished.
Glory shook her head at him, but beside him, Sunny nodded. Kestrel stared down at Clay.
I know who the ringleader was. Cut off the head, and the problem goes away.
You're going to cut off Tsunami's head? Sunny squeaked.
Glory sighed. It's a metaphor, Featherbrain.
Now go to bed,
Kestrel said. She turned and swept out of the cave, knocking over Starflight's neat stacks of scrolls as she went. Clay nudged Tsunami's dark blue shoulder with his snout.
Sorry. We tried.
I know. Thanks,
Tsunami said, brushing her wing against his. Hey, Sunny, would you mind taking those scrolls back to our sleeping cave? The small gold dragon brightened.
Sure, I can do that.
She hurried to the entrance, gathered the scattered scrolls in her front talons, and whisked out of the cave.
I can't stand this much longer, Tsunami said as soon as Sunny was gone. We have to get out of here, and soon.
Clay glanced at Glory and Starflight, who didn't look surprised.
You talk to them about it?
Of course, Tsunami said. I needed their help figuring out an escape plan.
Clay couldn't help but notice that she hadn't asked him for any escape plan ideas. Even the dragons who liked him thought he was pretty useless.
I'm not sure we're ready, Starflight said, wrinkling his forehead. There's so much we haven't learned yet.
That's what the teachers want us to think.
Tsunami's blue scales shifted as she shook herself from head to tail.
But we'll never know until we get out of these horrible caves and see the world for ourselves.
What about the prophecy? Clay asked. Shouldn't we wait 2 more years?
I don't see why, Glory said. I'm with Tsunami. Destiny is destiny, right? So whatever we do must be the right thing. We don't need a bunch of ancient dragons telling us how to save the world. They're not in the prophecy.
When do we tell Sunny?
Starflight asked, glancing at the cave's dark opening. Not until the last minute, Tsunami said fiercely. You know she can't keep a secret. Starflight, promise you won't say anything to her.
I won't, he said. She's not going to like it, though. She thinks everything is great here.
Of course she does, Tsunami said. She doesn't care that we get treated like cracked eggs, even though we're supposed to be the key to peace, or whatever.
She cares, Starflight said defensively. She just doesn't whine about it.
Youch, said Glory. Tsunami whirled to glare at Starflight, her gills pulsing. Say that to my face.
I am saying it to your face, he said. Or was I saying it to your rear end? It's easy to get the two confused.
He ducked behind Clay before Tsunami could even bare her teeth at him.
Hey, stop! Quit snarling at each other like mini kestrels, Clay said, standing up to keep his bulk between Tsunami and Starflight. Nobody's happy here. Sunny deals with it differently, that's all. But remember what we decided. We five stick together or else everything gets worse, right?
Starflight hunched his wings forward, muttering. Clay's right, Glory said. The last thing we want is to be like Kestrel, or Webbs, or Dune. Tsunami hissed for a moment, then shook herself. All right, I know, I'm trying. But this place is slowly killing me, she said. Clay shivered at the fierce look on her face. He would not want to be the dragon standing in her way.
As soon as we have a plan, we go, Tsunami said, looking them each in the eye. Let's see them force our destiny on us when they can't find us anymore.
Chapter 3. Suddenly, there was a thundering crash from the central cave. Clay heard the entrance boulder slam back into place, and then the rumble of heavy footsteps. From the extra squish-flap sound of them, he knew it must be Webbs.
Something's happening, Tsunami said.
She hurried to the door, her ears twitching and the spiny ridge along her back standing straight up.
We have to go listen.
Starflight spread his wings slowly.
I'm sure we'll find out what the fuss is in the morning.
I don't want to wait that long.
Tsunami spun around to jab his underbelly with her tail, and he tipped backward with a grunt.
Don't be a smoke breather. Let's go.
She whirled out of the cave. Clay winced as his sore muscles sprang into action. He followed Glory to the central cave. Glory's scales were already changing to match the mottled gray and black rocks. In a moment, she'd be nearly impossible to see. Starflight slipped past to join her, and the two of them hurried away toward the tunnel that led to the big dragon's cave. They vanished almost immediately into the shadows. Hidden by their coloring, they'd get as close as they could to eavesdrop. But Clay and Tsunami had an even better shot of hearing everything, if they hurried. Tsunami was already charging across the cave to the river.
What about Sunny?
Clay called quietly. He could hear the little sandwing rummaging around in her sleeping cave, putting scrolls away.
We'll come up with something to tell her later, Tsunami hissed back.
Clay felt sorry that Sunny was the only one who didn't know about their spying games, but they learned their lesson about trusting her with secrets years ago. Sunny hadn't meant to tell Dune about the pile of rocks the dragonettes were collecting. Their plan was to build a tower to the Skyhole, back when they were too small to fly. They'd only wanted to stick their heads out and look around. But one day, Sunny forgot to be careful around Dune, and the next day, all the collected rocks were gone from their hiding place. That was the end of that plan, and of Sunny getting to know anything. Tsunami disappeared into the river with a nearly soundless splash. The pale green flecks under her dark blue scales shimmered as she swam upriver. Clay dove in after her, wishing he could see in the dark like she could. At least she'd remembered to activate the glow-in-the-dark stripe along her tail. Mudwings couldn't breathe underwater like sea wings, but they could hold their breath for more than an hour. So whenever the dragonettes wanted to spy on their guardians, Clay and Tsunami could use the river to get closer than the others. He caught up to the Sea Wing as she was wriggling through the underwater gap in the cave walls. It made Clay nervous every time, squeezing through such a small space. He wished he hadn't eaten that extra cow at dinner. His claw scrabbled on the rocks, catching in the crevices. There was a brief, terrifying moment as his midsection got stuck. Would he drown down here? Would the prophecy be ruined because of an extra cow? Then, with a whoosh of bubbles, he popped through and shot after Tsunami. Her tail stripe went dark as they swam quietly into the Guardian's cave. The three older dragons hardly paid any attention to the river, except for Webbs, who sometimes slept in the shallows. It would never occur to them that two pairs of dragonhead ears might be poking out of the water, listening. Clay drifted to a stop near the entrance while Tsunami swam to the far side of the room. That way, at least one of them could hear, no matter where the minders were talking. Tonight, however, Clay was pretty sure everyone could hear everything, including Glory and Starflight in the passageway outside. From the way Kestrel was shouting, it was possible even the Skywings up in the mountain peaks could hear her.
"Coming here, with no warning, after 6 years suddenly he's interested."
A jet of fire shot out of her snout and blasted the nearest rock column.
"Maybe he wants to make sure they're ready to stop the war," Webb suggested.
Dune snorted.
"These dragonettes? Then he's going to be very disappointed."
He eased himself onto a flat boulder, stretching his foreleg stump and mangled wing toward the fire. The big sand-winged dragon never discussed his scars or how he lost his foot, but the dragonettes could guess from the anger in his voice whenever he talked about the war. The fact that he couldn't fly was probably why he was chosen for underground dragonette minding duty. He clearly wasn't picked for his warm, nurturing personality.
"We've done our best," Webb said. "The prophecy chose these dragonettes, not us."
"Does he even know what happened?" Kestrel demanded. "Does he know about the broken egg and the rain wing? Or the defective sand wing?"
Clay winced. Poor Sunny. He floated closer, keeping his bulky brown length below the surface of the dark water. Through the ripples, he could see the blurred shapes of the large dragons gathered around the fire. Webbs flapped his wings.
"I'm not sure what he knows or why he cares. The message just said, Morrowseer is coming. I'm supposed to meet him and bring him here tomorrow."
"Morrowseer. That sounded familiar." Clay racked his brain. "A dragon from history class? One of the tribe rulers? No, it couldn't be. All the tribes were ruled by queens."
"I'm not worried about Sunny," Dune said. "We followed the prophecy's instructions. It's not our fault she's the way she is. But the Rain Wing? He's not going to like that."
A deep growl rumbled in Kestrel's throat.
"I don't like it either. I never have."
"Glory's not that bad," Webbs argued. "She's smarter than she wants us to know."
"You overestimate her because you brought her here,"
Dune said.
"She's lazy and worthless, like the rest of her tribe."
"And she's not a Skywing," Kestrel snapped. "We're supposed to have a Skywing."
Clay wished Glory didn't have to hear all this. The Guardians never hid how they felt about her, and she never acted like she cared. But he wished he could tell her she was just as important and smart as any Skywing.
"Well, I never thought Morrowseer would come look at them," Webb said. "After he dropped off Starflight's egg, I assumed we'd never see him again. The Nightwings have nothing to do with the war."
"So he's a Nightwing, which means superpowered and mysterious and full of himself." That was all Clay could remember about Nightwings. He found himself actually wishing he could get a lecture from Starflight. The epic wonderfulness of Nightwings was the Black Dragonette's favorite topic.
"Did the Talon say what he wants?" Kestrel asked.
"Well, it's his prophecy," Webb said. "I guess he wants to make sure it'll actually come true."
"Morrowseer." Clay felt a jolt run through him, like the stinging shock he sometimes got when Dune whacked him with his barbed tail for not paying attention. Morrowseer
was the Nightwing who had spoken the Dragonette prophecy 10 years ago. They had learned about him in history, but it was one of many facts Clay could never remember. Who had delivered the prophecy never seemed as important as who was in the prophecy. But maybe Morrowseer was more important than Clay had realized. After all, he was coming to see them. Perhaps he would take them out into the world. Perhaps they didn't need to escape after all. Perhaps everything was about to change. Chapter 4. Clay had never really believed the legends about Nightwings. Secretive dragons who could read minds? A hidden kingdom that no one could find? A mystery queen, the power to see the future. The way they appeared from darkness to deliver prophecies that shaped the world. It all sounded like fairy tales, about as likely as a world ruled by scavengers instead of dragons. Besides, Clay knew Starflight, and Starflight was many things, annoying, long-winded, smart, too serious, but he had no magical powers, and he was never, ever scary. But the next evening, when a dragon black as a bottomless pit loomed out of the shadows of the entrance tunnel, Clay felt all the rumors about Nightwings come crashing into his head like a collapsing rock wall. Morrowseer was even bigger than Kestrel, and 5 times more terrifying. He spread his jagged, bat-like wings and peered down at the dragonettes lined up in front of him. He had silver scales like stars on the underside of his wings, like Starflight did. But on him, they seemed to glitter from a great distance and cast a cold glow. He looked like he could easily rip off each of their heads in one bite. He also looked like he already hated the 5 dragonettes, which wasn't what Clay had expected at all. Were they such a disappointment already? Maybe Morrowseer was reading their minds and knew how confused they were about the prophecy. Or maybe he was seeing the future, and his visions were all of failure, failure, failure. Clay could feel Sunny trembling at his side. He felt the same way, petrified in place, as if his scales were being slowly peeled off one by one while the giant Nightwing inspected them. On his other side, Starflight was more still than Clay had ever seen him. Starflight always froze when he was frightened. It was as if he hoped that by not moving, he'd disappear from view and the danger would pass right by. Clay couldn't see Glory, but he knew when Morrowseer saw her. The huge black dragon stared down at the rain-winged dragonette for a small eternity. His snout twitched with ripples of disgust. A forked black tongue slipped over his teeth. Clay wished his own wings were as vast as the cavern itself so he could hide his friends from Morrowseer. He wished his talons were as huge as the stalagmites and as sharp as the rock shards. He wished he were big enough to be brave and brave enough to be big. He'd never wanted anything so much as he wanted to protect his friends from this tall, hissing, scornful, immensely dangerous dragon. He really, really hoped that Morrowseer wasn't reading his mind right then. Think about cows, think about cows, think about delicious, fat cows. Morrowseer pivoted his head slowly to glare down at Kestrel. He lifted one long claw and pointed at Glory. "What is that?" he said, his voice loaded with enough venom to kill 20 dragons in mid-flight. Starflight took a step back, and Clay saw Glory. She was sitting on her haunches, with her long tail curled over her talons. Trails of violet and gold chased each other through her scales. Only the shades of flame around her feathery ears hinted that she was upset. She stared calmly back at Morrowseer. "There was an accident," Kestrel said. "We lost the Skywing egg, so we had to get another one somewhere. From the Rain Wings," Morrowseer interrupted scathingly. "It was his idea," Kestrel snarled, whipping her tail toward Webb's. "He brought her egg here." "At least we have 5 dragonettes," said Webb's. "That's what matters."
Maruseer peered down his long black snout at Glory. His eyes shifted to Sunny, who let out a tiny squeak and sank a little lower toward the ground.
"More like 4 and a half," he grunted. "Are you supposed to be the Sandwing? Don't you eat? What's wrong with you?"
There was a long, horrible pause while Sunny tried to squeak out an answer.
"She does," Tsunami blurted. "She eats fine, as much as anyone."
"It's not her fault she's small,"
Starflight chimed in, to Clay's surprise.
"She's a good fighter,"
Clay said.
"And so is Glory." "Stop talking now,"
Maruseer said, and silence dropped over them. His sharp, menacing gaze landed on Clay.
"Think about cows, think about cows, think about cows."
The tall Nightwing turned to the three guardians.
"Something has gone very wrong here."
"Yes," Tsunami burst in again. "It has, and I can tell you what, we're treated like prisoners. We've never been outside these caves, not once. All we know about this world we're supposed to save is what we've learned in scrolls. We're supposed to be the most important dragonettes in the world, but those three treat us like blind salamanders."
Clay couldn't believe it. Wasn't she scared of Maruseer too?
"Tsunami, hold your tongue,"
Dune snapped.
"I will not," she cried. "Please, get us out of here," she said to Maruseer. "Take us away with you."
"Please don't," Clay thought. "I mean, think about cows, think about cows."
Now that he'd seen the Nightwing, he'd rather stay trapped here.
"Ungrateful lizard,"
Kestrel growled. Without warning, Maruseer lunged at Tsunami. His teeth flashed like bright white lightning, darting toward her neck.
"It really is like the night sky falling on you,"
Clay thought, and then discovered he was moving too. He flung himself at the Nightwing's huge ridged back before he could stop to think about what he was doing. His claws sank into the small gaps between the shifting black scales, scrambling for a hold. His tail thrashed as he tried to balance. Below him, he saw Tsunami rolling away and spitting to fight back. Her blue talons slashed at Maruseer's nose and underbelly. Clay tried frantically to remember his battle training. He flattened himself along the big dragon's back, snaked his neck forward, and bit down as hard as he could.
"Ow!"
His jaw exploded with pain, and he reared back. In the black-on-black scales, it was impossible to find a weak spot. Maruseer jumped away from Tsunami and shook his whole body violently. Clay lost his grip and went flying through the air. He landed with a jarring thud, sliding halfway into the river. As he staggered to his feet, he saw Tsunami and Maruseer facing each other in battle positions. Maruseer made a grinding noise deep in his throat. He stepped back and swung his tail around into view. Clinging to Maruseer's tail, her teeth firmly planted in the vulnerable spot near the end, was Sunny. Clay wished he'd remembered about that spot, which every dragon had, no matter which tribe they were from.
"Ha!" Maruseer rumbled. "That's a surprise."
He pried Sunny loose with his front talons, as if she were just a tiny, blood-sucking insect.
"That one will do,"
Maruseer said, pointing at Tsunami. None of the big dragons had moved at all as he attacked their charges. Neither had Glory, neither had Starflight. Clay staggered up beside his Nightwing friend, who was doing an excellent imitation of a stalagmite. Starflight lowered his head and avoided Clay's eyes.
"And that one will do,"
Maruseer nodded at Clay. Kestrel snorted.
The Nightwing approved of him? Clay was confused. It wasn't as if Clay's attack had done any good.
Even when Clay was defending his friend, apparently he couldn't get angry enough to drag out his inner monster. Couldn't Maruseer hear everyone thinking about how Clay was going to let them all down?
"This one,"
Maruseer studied Sunny, from her harmless tail to her weirdly golden scales and moss-green eyes.
"We'll have to see."
"We followed the prophecy,"
Dune insisted.
"She wasn't in a clutch of eggs. I found her egg alone, buried out in the desert, just like the prophecy said."
The Guardians never talked about where they got the dragonette's eggs. Sunny stared at Dune hopefully, but he fell silent under Morrowseer's dark eyes.
As for you, Morrowseer said to Starflight, I assume you used your Nightwing powers to figure out that I wasn't going to harm the Sea Wing. Perhaps you even had a vision of my visit today. No doubt you already know that I'm going to take you into the next cavern for a private conversation.
Clay shuddered. A private conversation with Morrowseer sounded about as much fun as having his ears roasted. He did not envy Starflight as the two Nightwings slithered toward the study room. Morrowseer paused in the archway and looked back at the Guardians.
We'll talk about her later.
He didn't look at Glory, but everyone else did. She flicked her ears and lifted her chin a little higher as Morrowseer's footsteps faded away down the tunnel.
What does that mean? Clay worried. What was there to talk about?
Stupid Sea Wing! Kestrel shot across the cave and struck Tsunami's snout. Complaining to the first strange dragon you see, trying to make us look bad, whining about your life after all we've given up for you.
If you hate this too, why don't you let us go?
Tsunami shot back.
This is for your safety, Webbs interjected.
His voice was gentler than Kestrel's, but Clay could tell he was angry from the way his long blue-green tail lashed on the floor.
That's what all of this is for. The Talons of Peace need you to survive long enough to fulfill the prophecy. You have no idea how many dragons would love to get their claws on you, Five.
Or what they'd do to you if they did,
Dune growled.
Our job is to keep you alive, Kestrel said, or else I'd have strangled you myself a long time ago.
Great, Tsunami said. Well, it's been a terrific life. Thanks very much.
Kestrel made the hissing fire is coming noise. Clay grabbed Tsunami's tail and tugged her back toward the river.
We are grateful, Sunny said, jumping in front of Kestrel.
She stood up on her back legs, not even half the red dragon's size. Her golden ears twitched.
We would much rather be alive than not alive. We're glad you keep us that way. Really, we are.
Come on,
Webb said. He prodded Kestrel and Dune toward their cave.
We need to talk.
Now he has something to say,
Kestrel grumbled as the three of them clambered over the broken stalagmites. Tsunami threw herself into the river and sank to the bottom in a stream of furious bubbles, where she curled up with her talons over her head. It got very quiet in the cave. Sunny and Clay exchanged glances, then looked over at Glory. The Rainwing was sitting in the same spot, with her tail still neatly curled around her feet. She yawned. Clay wished he could ever be that calm. It was as if nothing bothered her at all.
Are you all right?
Clay asked. He came around and sat in front of her, studying her face. Sunny sidled up beside Glory, brushing her violet wings with her own smaller golden ones.
Of course, Glory said. I mean, we knew that was going to happen. It's not like the Minders have been talking about how awesome I am this whole time.
But you are, Clay said. Glory tilted her head at him.
Awesome, he insisted. They just don't see.
They see a Rainwing, she said with a shrug.
I don't care. It's their own fault for bringing me here.
Why didn't you fight Morrowseer when we did?
Sunny asked.
Then maybe he'd know how brave and fierce you are, too.
Why bother? Glory said. It was obviously a test, and I'd already failed. A splotch of sky blue scales on her back pulsed, and then the color began to spread across her other scales, eating up the purple and gold.
Well, we don't care what the prophecy says or what Morrowseer thinks, Clay said stoutly. You're our fifth dragonette. We don't want anyone else.
Glory gave him a rueful look. That's very sweet. She yawned again.
I'm going to take a nap.
Now?
Sunny said, alarmed.
Is that a good idea? Glory fell asleep every day, usually after lunch, for a couple of hours. But Clay had expected her to stay awake while Marusir was around. He knew he wouldn't want the big, dark dragon to catch him sleeping. He glanced at the tunnel to the study room, wondering uneasily how far the Nightwing's telepathy reached and whether he could read Clay's mind through rock.
"I'm tired," Glory snapped. "And they all think I'm lazy anyway. Nothing I can do to change that."
Clay knew Glory wasn't lazy. She worked harder than everyone at battle training and learning the Dragon War's history, even though none of the big dragons ever noticed. She just had to nap in the middle of the day, probably for some Rainwing reason, although it didn't seem to help. Glory was just as prickly and tired after napping as she was before.
"Wake me if anything exciting happens," Glory said. "But make sure it's actually exciting, not Sunny exciting." She gave Sunny a friendly nudge with her snout, and the Sandwing squeaked in protest.
"I don't think everything is exciting," Sunny flapped her wings. "But you guys don't think enough things are exciting."
"Think of it this way," Glory said. "Time to leave the caves and fulfill the prophecy? Exciting. You caught another weird-looking white crab in the river? Not exciting. Got it?"
She poked Sunny again, uncurled her tail, now fully blue, and slipped inside her sleeping cave. Sunny blinked at Clay.
"I know," he said. "That last crab was really weird looking."
"It was, wasn't it?" she said.
"I wouldn't have minded if you'd woken me up to see it," Clay added kindly.
"Well, good," she said. "I know. That's why you got to eat half of it instead of anyone else."
She headed for her favorite stalagmite and started to climb it, hooking her claws in the holes that dotted the bulbous shape. Clay clambered up the rocks beside her.
"Hey, Sunny," he said. "What would you think about running away?"
She paused and looked at him with shocked green eyes.
"You mean leaving the caves? Without our guardians? Oh no, we couldn't. We have to do what the prophecy says."
"Do we?" he asked. "I mean, we do," he said quickly, as she nearly lost her grip on the stalagmite in surprise. "But what if the Talons don't understand the prophecy any better than we do? Maybe we need to get out and stop the war our own way."
Sunny settled on top of the stalagmite and coiled her tail around it, balancing on her back legs. She reached up toward the stalactites that were poking sharply down from the top of the cave.
"I don't think that's a good idea, Clay. If we just follow the prophecy, everything will be all right."
Her claws batted at the tip of the lowest stalactite, but she was still too small to reach it. She sat back down with a frustrated sigh. Clay glanced at the soft blue glow coming from Glory's cave. Follow the prophecy. But he couldn't help thinking that a real prophecy would have included Glory. What if the prophecy was wrong?
Chapter 5. It seemed like a long time later when Starflight finally slunk back into the main hall with Marusir close behind him. Clay couldn't tell whether Starflight had told Marusir the truth, that he didn't have visions or read minds. He was just ordinary, like the rest of the dragonettes. But who would be brave enough to tell Marusir that? The enormous Nightwing slithered off to the Guardian's cave without a word to Sunny or Clay. Starflight glanced at them, then turned and headed for his sleeping cave. Clay hurried after him.
"What happened?" he asked. "What did he say to you?" "I'm not supposed to talk about it," Starflight said stiffly.
He sat down in the middle of their cave, his wings askew behind him, and started poking through the scrolls on the floor.
"It's over here,"
Clay said, nudging a fat scroll with silver letters that had rolled under his sleeping ledge. Starflight hooked it over with one talon, tucked it under a wing, and carried it up to his ledge. He curled up with his tail draped over his nose and started reading.
"Wow," Clay said. "So it was that bad?"
Tales of the Night Wings was Starflight's favorite scroll, and he always read it when he was upset or fighting with one of the other dragonettes. The tip of Starflight's tail twitched.
I have a lot to learn, he said.
But you already know everything, Clay said. You have to be the smartest dragonette in all of Pyria. Couldn't he tell that by reading your mind? Starflight didn't answer.
I thought he liked you, Clay said. Surely he said something about what a great and noble dragon you must be because you're a Nightwing.
A long, tired breath whooshed out of Starflight's snout.
Yeah.